Hi everyone, this is Steve. Welcome to Pacific Life Church Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to check out our website, pacificlifechurch.org, and subscribe to our email list. The email is actually the best way to keep up with everything going on around here at PLC. Most importantly, I hope the following presentation will inspire you to follow Jesus, love each other, and serve your neighbors. The story is told of a very wealthy man who had a friend, and he wanted to find a way to bless this friend. And his friend was a builder and you know, a contractor. And so he came up with an idea. And so he called his friend over one day and he said, "Hey, would you build a home for me?" And of course, his friend, the contractor, was thrilled. He said, "Absolutely." And he says, "And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to have an architect draw up some plans, and then I'm going to have them delivered to you. And when you build a home," he said, "I do not want you to spare any expense." He said, "I want you to build that home as fine as you can, use the best materials, the best craftsmanship, just make it a beautiful home." And he said, "Spare no expense. And when you're done," he goes, "I'll pay the bill, whatever it is." And so, you know, his friend was really excited about this, but something got into his friend when he started to build the house, and he began to think about the fact that he said, "I'll pay whatever." And so instead of using the finest materials, he started using inferior materials. And when he began to get the different subcontractors, instead of using the best subcontractors around, he began to find guys that were not really, they didn't have the same quality of work. And he did this all the way through building the house, the landscaping and everything. When he finished, he called up his friend and he said, "Well, the house is finished. I'd like you to come over and see it." And everything looked great. His wealthy friend came over. He walked through the house. They checked out everything. And he said, "It's beautiful." And so he handed his wealthy friend the keys to the house. And he said, "Okay." And his friend said, "You know something?" He goes, "I didn't tell you about this," but he said, "This house is actually for you." And he handed the keys back. And he said, "I've cared about you so much, and you've been such a great friend to me all these years. I wanted to do something for you that would really bless your life." And in that moment, his friend felt horrible shame. And he realized that he had really shortchanged himself by what he did. We've been doing this series we just started last week. It's called Blueprint. And the point is that we need to be thoughtful about what we are building. We're building a life. God is co-building our life with us. We are, in a sense, co-architects with God as He builds our life together. And I was thinking about that since we were talking about building a home. And I've got some slides of some. These are all homes built in different places in California. Take a look at that. And as you look at them, I want you to think about all the thought and the design and the intention and to detail that went into these homes. They're kind of pretty interesting, aren't they? Check that out. Well, if you think about each one of those homes, those houses, they're like, wow, pretty interesting, almost kind of eccentric in certain ways for sure. But think about who you are, how God uniquely designed you. And if you were a house, what would that look like? So the big idea is that we are building something. God is building something through us. But we need to cooperate with Him to build what God actually wants to build in us and through us. So, you know, last week, if you were here on Easter, we had kind of a 30,000-foot view of our life, kind of from the whole blueprint perspective. But today, I want to zoom in. I want to zoom in more into the details of our life and how God would do that with us, kind of the day by day, month by month, year by year, God just working in and through our life. And a lot of it has to do with the decisions that we make, doesn't it? Like you think about some of the bigger decisions we make in our life, like will I get married or not? Will I choose to have children or a family if I get married? Will I go to college? If I do go to college, what college will I go to? Those are huge decisions. What career path will I take? How will God use my life in the church? And how will God use my life in the world? And here's a really big one. Will I choose to be a cultural Christian or a real Christian? Will I choose to be somebody who really follows Jesus day by day or just in Christian in name only? Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 says this in the Message translation. Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. And so just like Jeremiah, God has holy plans for our lives. He wants to shape our lives, and he wants us to become something beautiful. Every human being, he has great, great plans for their life. If we will allow him, if we will invite him in to be co-architects with him. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at how we are shaped, and we're actually going to use the word shaped as an acronym. I think it's a really good word, and sort of talking about how this would work in our life. Again, coming in to the details of our life, like everything about us. So in starting with the very first letter of the word, spiritual, or S, that's for spiritual gifts. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it says this, a spiritual gift is given to each one of us so that we can help each other. So if you have a relationship with Jesus, the moment that you come into that relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes into you, God gives you spiritual gifts. Some people have more than others, and those gifts are to be used to help the church, to help your friends, to help everybody around you. And God doesn't want you to keep those gifts to yourself. It's not like, oh, gee, I got this gift. This is pretty cool. No, God said, I gave that gift to you for a purpose. And God also gave gifts to the church. So if you go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, there's a list. Actually, the Apostle Paul lists these in this particular order. He says that there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So five major gifts that are given to the church. And this is to help the church to go forward, to prosper, and to really fulfill the Great Commission to the world. So here's a quick explanation. And if you're new to the Bible, if you're new to Christianity, maybe this will really help you out. You have a greater sense of like how this all works. And so the first one is apostles. And apostles are people that, for lack of a better way of saying it, they're starter. They start things. The Apostle Paul, you know, was an apostle, and he was planting churches, and he was doing missionary kind of things. So people that start things, and not, it doesn't have to be a big thing, but it's an apostolic gift where they say, I'm going to start something, and then that something becomes something. I think of a lot of the great church organizations around the world, even today in our country. For instance, like Youth for Christ. I think it was Bill Bright that started that. That's an apostolic gift. I think of Young Life, Prison Fellowship, Compassion International. All those things were started by people that had apostolic gifts, and we need those kind of people in the church. The next one we have are evangelists. Maybe, I don't know who comes to your mind when you think of an evangelist, maybe Billy Graham, people like that. But evangelists are people that just fire the church up. And man, the church needs evangelists. The evangelist comes along, and it could be a person inside the church or a person who comes to visit the church, but they just got this like passion inside of them, and they get everybody all fired up. And they're one thing about people, and maybe you have this gift, if the gift of evangelism is inside of you, you know how to win people to Christ. You know how to lead people to Christ, and you're excited about it. And then we have prophets. I got actually, prophets was number two. I went over that. I skipped that one. Prophets. Now, this is kind of an interesting gift. The prophet, and when we think of the church today, a lot of people think, well, you know, the prophets were for yesterday. No, they're actually, that's a gift that God wants to be in the church. Prophets are truth tellers. Prophets are the ones who, they hear from God. Usually, they've got a very close relationship with God, and they hear God. And sometimes what they hear from God are they hear things that they're not wanting to say, or they're hearing things that nobody else wants to say because it's a truth, and sometimes it's an inconvenient truth. But they're the ones that are willing to say to a church, hey, look, we're moving in the wrong direction. We need a course correction. Or in some cases, hey, we're beginning to really get into like heresy or some wrong teaching. So that's where the prophet comes in. And then you have pastors. I'm a pastor. Pastors are basically the shepherd of the church. They preach and they teach and they disciple and they basically oversee congregations, whether it's a small congregation or a big congregation. That's what the pastor does, and that's one of the gifts. God gave me that gift when I was really young. And then there's teachers, and sometimes pastors have that teaching gift as well. And teachers are needed. They teach us. They're able to break the Bible down, sometimes verse by verse. They help it all to make sense to people, and they have that gift of teaching. So those are the five gifts that are mentioned that really are a blessing to the church and will help the church to go forward. There's a lot of other gifts. There's somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, depending on who you talk to or what you read, 21 spiritual gifts that are mentioned in the Bible. And so I'm going to mention a few others to you because as I talk about this, maybe you have this gift. The first one mentioned, you're going to find this in Romans chapter 12, verses 7 through 8, is serving. And these are just people that have a servant's heart. And maybe you never ever thought about it as a gift. You're like, what? That's a gift? I just enjoy serving people. And that's a beautiful gift that everybody around you, I'm sure, enjoys because you just want to serve them. And then there's the gift of encouraging. And again, maybe you never thought of that as a spiritual gift. But there are some people that are you get around them and they're just always encouraging you. And God knows we need encouragers today, kind of in the climate of our culture that we're living in today. How about giving? Some people are just incredibly generous. And sometimes they're very prosperous too. And these are the people where God uses them and says, I blessed you, and I really want you to use that gift to bless other people. Leading is another one. You know, they say that leaders are just born. I think leaders are born and developed too. But some of you just know from the time that you were young, you just found yourself leading. Wherever you went, you were a leader. And that's a beautiful gift. And that's a gift that the church needs. That's a gift that this church leads. We have people here that lead different things and like life groups and things like that. So anyway, that's something that's really, really important. How about mercy? Everybody should have a person in their life who has the gift of mercy. Because on your worst days, you're probably going to go see that person or you're going to contact that person and say, can we just sit down and talk? Because they've got the gift of mercy. And then this is one of my favorite gifts. It's the gift of hospitality. This one's mentioned in the Bible several times. My wife certainly has the gift of hospitality, and I know a lot of people have. They just love inviting people in to their homes and blessing people. Now, if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, maybe you're new to Christianity, or maybe you've actually been in the church for a while and you're still trying to figure it out, we would like to help you discover what your spiritual gift is. And the good news is there's all kinds of spiritual gift tests that are actually out there. If you go online, you can find some. I found one. Maybe this would help you. It's called the FBC Brewster Spiritual Gifts Assessment. It's actually free. I'm not going to charge you. Some of them you have to sort of pay for it. But if you want to just check that out, see how you come out. And then if you see the result and you're like, all right, what do I do with that? Come talk to us. Okay, come talk to me. Come talk to our staff. And we would love to help you sort that out and figure out what it is. Like, so you've got a spiritual gift, and everybody does. What am I going to do, and how am I going to use that spiritual gift? And so the shape of who we are, spiritual gifts. The next one is H for heart. And our hearts reflect our passions and things that we genuinely care about or things that we enjoy doing. And here's the thing. God is not opposed to our hearts unless our hearts are opposed to God. And our hearts are so integral to who we are. Our hearts drive us. And you can read a person's heart. Very, very, it doesn't take long to sort of figure out like how a person is shaped and where their heart drives them. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says this, "Guard your hearts above all else, for it determines the course of your life." This is why, man, I mean, you don't ever want your heart to go bad. You don't ever want your spiritual heart to go bad. So you got to guard your hearts. And our hearts, they show us things about ourselves. For instance, if you feel very strongly about injustice, then that's where your heart is there. I know people like that when they see an injustice, you're driven to want to do something. And that's the way that your heart is shaped. Maybe for somebody else, you're moved by single mothers. And you're like, oh man, I just would like to do something to help single mothers. Or maybe troubled teens or finding ways to help people that are down and out. Those are all things, those are heart things right there. And all of our hearts bleed for something. And the question is, what does your heart bleed for? Think about that just for a moment. What does your heart bleed for? Because it bleeds for something. Because God just made us that way. If you have passion for adventure, that's a hard thing. And the reason I bring that up is because I love adventure. I do. And one of the reasons that I love missions work is because I love to travel and I love to put myself in places where there's adventure, where there's opportunity to bring the gospel to people in really interesting places, sometimes dangerous places. I don't know why. I just love being in dangerous places sometimes. And it's I've been there. That's the shape of my heart. What is the shape of your heart? Next one is abilities. The shape of our abilities. Everybody is born with certain abilities, talents, skills that God gives to you. Guess what? You didn't get to choose it. God chose it for you. When you were born, everybody has gifts, talents, and ability, and God said, you get those ones. Most of us, by this time in our life, probably most of us have figured that out, right? You're like, well, yeah, I'm actually pretty good. Maybe you're good in music, and you know, yeah, it comes to me, and it's not that hard. Or maybe you're really really good at writing, or maybe you're athletically inclined. But there's something in your life, and you're like, I'm good at this. It just kind of comes to me. It's never been hard for me, and it's a talent that God has given to me. When I was young, I knew immediately that I had athletic ability. And so as I was, you know, as I went through high school, I really, really enjoyed that. When I got out of high school, I thought, I'd like to use this ability to help other people, but how do I help other people? And so when I was about 2 or 3 years into youth ministry, I went to a local high school where I was in Livermore, California at the time. And I said, hey, can I help out with a track team? And so I began to work with the sprinters, and we had a fantastic team. We had a really good year, and I was able to help some of those sprinters really reach their potential that year. A couple of them went on to state track meet, and that was really, really cool for me. But then I did something else, because I think God wants us to use our abilities, obviously, for his purposes. So I invited the entire track team to this big venue, and I had a professional athlete who just happened to be a Christian come and share his life story with all of these guys. These are just some of the things that you can do. Obviously, in other words, if you know me, you know that surfing's been a huge part of my life. And so I love surfing, and I've had surf camps that I've done in the past. I've done local contests all around here. And I'm not telling you this so you can go, well, whoopee for you, Steve. I'm telling you, it's like, what do you care about? You know, what are the abilities that God has given you? And it could be anything that you can use for God instead of just like doing, well, I just enjoy doing that and I'll just do that. But no, think about that. I just want to want you to think about that for a moment. So your abilities and like especially like music ability, some of those things. If you're into music, you got a voice, come talk to us. And then there's the P is for personality. The shape of our personality. I really like this one. It's so different for all of us. I think of the extrovert and the introvert. I think of the person who is the planner, and I think of the spontaneous person. I think of people that are high energy, people that are just chill. I think of people that they drive slow. Some people drive fast. It's just all wired differently. I think of some people that all they use is Apple computers and other people are PC people. I happen to be a PC person and all my whole staff is Apple. I don't know why. But I think one of the things that can happen to us when we kind of look at ourselves and our own personality is if we're not careful, we can end up not liking certain things about ourselves. In fact, we can end up not liking our personality. See, the problem with that is if you don't like who you are, you're going to blame your creator. You're going to say, you made me this way, and I wanted to be an extrovert, and I'm an introvert, or I wanted to be a person who is very calculated and planning, but I'm just this spontaneous person. Or I wanted to be like, especially with social media today, right? And we see all these other people's lives, and we're like, man, I just wish I could be like them. And we start to not like ourselves. We begin to blame God for making us the way that he did, instead of thanking God. You know, like King David goes, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, he wasn't perfect for sure, but he thanked God for the way that he was made. I think when I think about myself, there's a lot of things I like about myself, but there's for sure some things I'm like, what? How did you miss me on that one, God? One of the things I am not is organized, and I've struggled with that. I think I have the gift of confusion. You know, and that this is why I have always invited people around me. Like, at some point, I hated myself for it. And then I finally came to the conclusion, well, okay. Somehow when I was designed that, you know, I don't know, if, you know, I just got missed on that one or whatever. But it's given me an opportunity to invite people into my life, especially as a pastor, needing people to help me to go forward, to be able, for them to be able to use their gifts. So don't hate myself. I just realize that that's not what I have. So it's good to look at your personality, know your strengths. You know, they always say, go with your strength. Don't work on your weaknesses so much. Just go with your strengths and go with your personality. I finally found a word that I really like. It's probably been around for a while, but somehow I just kind of stumbled on it recently. So, you know, you have extroverts. How many of you are extroverts in this room? Okay, just curious. Okay. How many of you are introverts? Yeah, introverts don't even want to raise their hand, right? Like, I don't know, maybe I'm an introvert. Okay, so I was trying to figure out, like, what am I? Because I feel like I'm somewhere in between. And so, how many of you have heard of an ambivert? An ambivert when I discovered this, I'm like, that's what I am. And so I was kind of cool to, like, understand yourself better. But it describes someone who is an outgoing social introvert. So, like, I'm a very outgoing person. But I'm also kind of a social introvert in certain ways. So that's an ambivert. It's really cool to sort of discover who you are and how God created you. You know, when you look into the Bible and you look at some of the disciples, it's really interesting to look at the different personalities of the Bible. And if you read the Bible enough, you kind of get a sense of who they were and how God created them. Like Peter, right? The Apostle Peter. And Peter was an extrovert. I mean, he was like an extra extrovert. And then you have a guy like John. And John, you could tell he was contemplative. He was probably an introvert. You have a person like Matthew. Now, I think Matthew is probably one of the most interesting disciples. How many of you have read the book of Matthew? Okay. How many of you read the first chapter in the genealogy? Did you actually read the entire thing? Okay, so you think about what was his brain like? Well, here was a guy who could sit down and write 14 generations of names. He was that kind of a guy. And that's a very unique kind of personality. You think about like Martha and Mary, these two sisters, and Jesus would frequent their home and have dinner with them. But they're wired, like you can see the two different personalities. Martha had the gift of hospitality. She was in the kitchen, you know, banging around, trying to prepare something special for her special guest, Jesus. And then you have Mary, and Mary's so chill. She's like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to sit at the feet of Jesus and just worship, soak it in, right? Just all these different kinds of personalities. And God has given you a certain type of personality. Leverage it for God. Leverage it to bless all the people that are around you. And then we have E for experiences, the shape of who you are. And how have your experiences in your life shaped you so far? And so what would that be, experience? It would be the family that you grew up in. It would be the education that you have. It would be the occupation that you have, or maybe you've had several occupations. It would be your emotional experiences. All of these contribute to who you are and the experiences that you've had in your life. So God, what he wants us to do is he wants us to employ our experiences. He wants us to use our experiences. This is what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. It says, he comforts us all in our troubles so that we can comfort others when they are troubled. Then we are able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Now, the reason I want you to see this first is because a lot of times we think that our negative experiences are like, I don't even want to like do with that. If I'm going to help people, I'm going to just talk about my positive experiences. Actually, sometimes the things that we learn by failure are the things that can help other people almost more. I think of the Apostle Paul. As great as he was, he often talked about what he used to be. He goes, this is the kind of a man that I used to be. I was violent. And I had all these things in my life that were terrible. And he used that as a way to talk to people that, you know, were he was trying to move them towards God. Maybe you have had a failed business. A lot of people have. A lot of people fail in business. And you think, I don't even want to think about that. It was like one of the worst times in my life. But you have now had the opportunity to come up beside somebody who's failing in business and say, hey, brother, hey, sister, man, I want to tell you, I've been there before. I think I can help you with this. Or how about somebody who comes to the first day of their job, and you've been in the job for a while, and you're looking over at them, and you're going, oh, man, I remember that feeling. And they're struggling. They're scared. You can see it. And you have the opportunity to come up because you've got experiences, right? This is part of having the experience. Like, how am I going to use my experiences? And you can come up beside them and maybe put your arm around them and say, man, I feel you, man. I remember what it was like to start this job the first day. Kind of overwhelming, isn't it? You know, and you have an opportunity to talk to that person. I think of moms, like first-time moms, you know, and I think of my own wife, you know, she was like, oh my gosh, you know, how does this all work? And then after she had our first, she was able to come up besides, you know, brand new moms, they were to be moms, and say, hey, let me talk to you about this. And I think that's a beautiful thing. I'm a lifelong surfer. And, you know, one of the things that, I mean, I hate to say this, but surfers are not very accommodating to other people surfing in the water sometimes. And oftentimes I've seen somebody out there floundering around looking like they're half drowning. See, everybody, all the other surfers are like, whatever, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, well, yeah, somebody should help this person out. I've been surfing all my life, so a lot of times I'll come up beside somebody and go, hey, you know, like for when you're sitting in the wrong place or you're sitting on the board all wrong, or let me show you a couple of things, you know. That's the way that we use our experience to help other people. And God wants us to, like, don't waste your experiences, good or bad. Use your experiences to help other people. It's a shape of your life, the blueprint of your life. So God wants you to use all those things that we have talked about. He wants you to use your spiritual gifts. He wants you to be motivated by your heart that's in tune with him. He wants you to use the abilities because he's given us all abilities. He wants to use your personality, and he wants to use your experiences, and all those together become the blueprint of your life and of how God wants to use your life. And I guess the question is, are you allowing God to work in through your life and be a co-architect with you to become what God wants you to be? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you love us and you always want the best for us. There are undoubtedly some of us that have grown up and life has not been good to us. It's been very difficult. And we wonder about that sometimes. We wonder about, are you really for us? And we think about some of the flaws in our personality or just some of the bad experiences we've had in our life. And Lord, help all of us to know in this moment that it doesn't matter how old we are, it doesn't matter what we've been through, God, that you want us to be used for your purposes. You have a beautiful plan for our life, a blueprint for our life. And so help everybody who hears this today to be able to open up their heart to you in a new way and to know that you want to bless them and help them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. If you'd like prayer to connect with us, please go to our website at pacificlifechurch.org, and we would love to connect with you.